From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Just weeks ahead of the critical midterm elections on November 6th, the state of Georgia is making news for rampant voter suppression. Secretary of State Brian Kemp, who oversees elections and is a favorite of President Trump, is himself running in a high-profile gubernatorial race against the popular African-American candidate Stacey Abrams. Kemp has overseen multiple efforts to disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of disproportionately Black voters in what many are calling a blatant conflict of interest. In addition to 107,000 Georgia voters being purged from the rolls for simply not voting in the last few elections, 53,000 additional voters have had their right to vote being placed on hold by the state secretary's office. The reason for the holds is apparently discrepancy in the voter registration. Now, news has emerged that state officials are using an unreliable method of handwriting analysis to compare voter signatures and toss those registrations out. On top of all of that, a voting rights group called Black Voters Matter was busing a group of Black seniors for a voter outreach event when state authorities ordered the group off the bus. Here is a video of what happened.
Someone had passed by and saw the seniors getting on the bus and called the county commissioner's office to tell them that we can't do that. Now, there's no law that says that Black folk can't ride on buses no more.
So the bad news is that they're going to make us get off the bus right now, and that's okay, because y'all still going to make it do what it do.
So they're so mad and low down that we getting jealous.
That's right.
But they can't stop the rain.
That's right.
You can't stop it. Whatever God got for us is for us. And you can't stop us, can you?
We still going down there to vote.
That's right.
We still going to vote.
All Black and all Brown.
And somebody called the commission, the county commission, to complain because they saw all these Black folks get on this big Black bus. It's the blackest bus in America. Somebody drove past, saw that, got nervous, got mad, called the county commission's office, which then called the center. And the bottom line was all the folks who had just got on the bus. And the bus was full. This is a 50-passenger bus full of folk. Had to come off the bus. There's not a candidate on this bus. There's not a party symbol on this bus. But I'm going to tell you what is on this bus. A whole bunch of Black fists in the air with the word power underneath it. That's what scared them and made them say those folks have to come off that bus.
And that is a video of a recent incident of Black seniors being removed from a bus trip organized by the group Black Voters Matter in Georgia. We're joined now by Latasha Brown. She's the co-founder of Black Voters Matter, and you saw her in that video. Welcome to the program, Latasha.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I want to get to the broader issue of voter suppression in Florida, in Georgia, but let's specifically talk about the bus incident, which has garnered a lot of news coverage. So we basically saw a little bit in the video of what happened, but what was it that you were doing with this group of Black seniors who looked so pumped and so excited about the idea of exercising their right to vote? How did the event get organized?
Oh, it was amazing. We actually were going down to Jefferson County. We had planned it the week prior. And we were going to do a presentation with the seniors, really to talk to them about early voting, share with them a little bit about what we're doing, and really just listen and kind of engage them around this process of this election cycle. So we had spent an hour with them earlier in the center, talking about our work. We were singing, sharing stories. And then we actually came out. They wanted to come outside after our program. They wanted to come outside and see the bus. So we came outside to see the bus. We have Black Voters Matter has the South is Rising tour. We've got this big 40-foot beautiful bus with affirmative messages on it. And when they saw the bus, we're cultural organizers. So we always use music. And they just started, we're playing music and people start dancing. And we had an amazing time. And about 40 of the seniors said that they wanted to go vote. They wanted to ride the bus and go vote with us. So we were like, oh, that's fantastic.
So was it an early voting type thing? Or
it was like early voting. So we were going for early voting that just started that day. That was the first day of early voting. which even made it so much more significant, right? And so 40 seniors, or roughly around 40 seniors, loaded the bus, and we were chanting Black Voters Matter. We were singing. It was an amazing time that we had. And just as we were pulling off, the bus was stopped. I was kind of like mid in the back of the bus, but so the organizer, the local organizer who had invited us there, got off the bus to see what the director wanted, because it was the director who had flagged down the bus. And when she came back on the bus, what she informed us was that someone had seen and we don't know who the someone is, saw the seniors getting on the bus, saw people loading on the bus, that called down to county commissioner's office, supposedly. The county commissioner, the county administrator, which is kind of like a city manager, had made a decision that the folks on the bus should get off the bus. And so he called the director of the center, which is actually funded by the county, and told her that those seniors were not to leave with us. And I don't know all what he said, to be honest. I don't know what he said, other than they told us that the seniors had to get off the bus. And so our local organizer, when we're going in communities, we respect the culture and the dynamics in those communities. It's a fine line. And so we asked the organizer, what is it that we should do? And the organizer said that we should, you know, just check in with the seniors, of which we did. And literally we just decided collectively that we would get off the bus. And so as they got off the bus, the irony though, is as they got off the bus, there was a group about 10 of them that were going to go vote before we got there. The county had made provisions in a smaller van for about 10 of them to go vote, but they were so excited and pumped up from our event that 40 actually wanted to vote. And so as they got off the bus, some of them went to load up, and because that by this time they want to go vote, they went to load up in the bus that the county had provided, the smaller van that the county had provided. And then a couple of minutes later, we see them getting off that. And then we asked the director, well, what happened? And then the organizer actually told us that the seniors said themselves that they told them, we're not going to go vote today. We're going to vote. We'll take you all another day. So that was really, really disturbing. So it was one thing that one, the seniors are on their way. They're excited. They're hyped up. They're getting ready to go vote with us. Then they go to the transportation, and then you make a decision that today will not be the day that they vote. Wow. So it's just problematic on so many different levels.
I mean, and it's so symbolic when I look at this story, or I'm thinking of Black seniors who are most of them probably old enough to remember a time when we had rampant race-based voter suppression in the South, in our country. And of course, the symbolism of being asked to get off a bus on top of all of that, just to me showed how critical this story is, that we are unfortunately seeing what feels like a return to a very disturbing chapter in our nation's history, right?
Absolutely. I will say this about the seniors. You know, it's really interesting. I was deeply, deeply disturbed. What was really interesting is when Cliff, who's the co-founder of Black Voters Matter, because he actually got the information. I was in the back leading the pep rally. And Cliff, when he came back, he said, well, I've got some bad news. One of the seniors, you can actually hear it on the tape, one of the seniors says, we can't go. Right. And it was almost as if they really weren't completely shocked that someone had interfered in the process. Right. While I was really mad and upset, they were just fired up. They were like, we're going to vote. We're going down there to vote today. Right. And so they felt what was so beautiful about them is their resolve. Right. That they had so much resolve and resilience around, nope, what we're going to do is we're going to vote. They're not going to stop us from voting. So, okay. And so we didn't want to change the dynamics. We had come off such a high that what we did want to do is to get into a power struggle with the local official at that time with the seniors, with the seniors that were there that had been so excited. So, and we wanted to kind of follow the leadership the local leadership in terms of what their advice was. And so we had made a decision that we would deal with it, that we would make provisions for the seniors. We would really get to the bottom of it. And so 2 days later, we actually drove 3 hours and we went back down to Jefferson County, one, to do two things. One, to check in with the seniors who did not, who got off the bus, to make sure that they had provisions to vote and that we could go organize, take them to the polls on our own. And then secondly, to go, well, actually three reasons. Secondly, we knew that there was a voter suppression rally, an anti-voter suppression rally, and we wanted to be in support of the community around that. And then the third thing was to actually go to the county commissioner's office and look at the county administrator in his face and ask him point blank, what was he thinking? What was the purpose of it? Why was the bus stopped? What was the denial about? And get to the bottom of really where that was. And so we did those things. And what was really interesting in that process when we talked to him is he spoke as if the seniors were children. Now, if people have looked at the video, this is not a nursing home. This is not a residential facility. This is a community center where seniors and others, some of the seniors even drive themselves there. These are not people who are not able-bodied people. These are able-bodied, independent living, active seniors. Some of them are on walkers. Some of them are healthier than others, but none of them are either a ward of the county or in the resident.
Have the right to step on whatever bus they want to step on and go wherever they want to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it was this paternalistic, you know, it's really interesting. Yeah. It was this paternalistic kind of racist laden idea that he himself, when we asked him, right, we said, well, why did you stop? He specifically said he actually said this publicly in a statement, and he said it to us, and there were media around. He said that he didn't know who we were, that he needed to vet us. Now I just want you to think about it. These are 40 grown adults who had spent 2 hours with us, that trusted us enough that they were willing to ride. Not only were they willing to ride with us, they actually requested to ride with us. And somehow this one official, this white man, thought that he had that some way he could discern and make a decision which would be best for them, that they in some way that were not capable of making.
Right. All of this, of course, that infantilizing of Black folks is also part of the disturbing racist history of our nation. Now, I understand in the days after this happened, a mayor in Georgia of the town of Bartow has been posting on Twitter these bizarre claims. And of course, it's obviously what really scares some of these folks is that your organization is called Black Voters Matter. The bus has a fist on it with a symbol, you know, of a powerful fist of resistance on it. So this is what Robert Morris, this mayor, posted. He said, it's utterly reprehensible that your group maintains that all Black voters should vote for a Black candidate just because they're the same color as you. A man named Jim Jones once ran an organization like that. Better check that Kool-Aid you are serving up. Wow, I couldn't believe this. Your response to that?
Absolutely. It is so ridiculous what he wrote, but it's problematic on some so many levels. One, just in the substance of what he wrote, and which we responded to. Mm-hmm. One, our organization is, we're saying that Black voters matter, and we support folks who support Black voters. He cannot find anything. We have never advocated. We've never publicly requested that. It is not our personal belief that the only people that could represent that we would ever support for public office would be Black people. That has not been our track record. We have supported white candidates that we think work out in the for the best interest of us. And we've supported Black candidates as well. So one, based on his own racial bias, he made an assumption that is completely contrary to who we are and the work that we're doing. Secondly, the fact that he is in a position of leadership. Here is a mayor of a town in a county that is 53% African American. So this is Jefferson County is 53% Black. So here's a mayor in a county that has a majority Black population that he clearly, you can hear it as latent, he clearly has an issue with Black self-determination. That in itself is a problem. Mm-hmm. And then the third piece I think is really interesting, that he would actually equate Jim Jones and Kool-Aid as if there's something that some way we are trying to mislead our community.
He basically compared you to a cult.
That he compared us to a cult, right? So that in itself is just extremely problematic. But I think the deeper issue that we really got to deal with and we've got to see is, and Cliff and I talk about this all the time through Black Voters Matter, is around this structural racism that has gone undisturbed and unchecked, particularly when we're looking at in the Deep South, in the rural communities, that even the progressive community in many ways have abandoned the South and completely abandoned the rural communities. And pretty much, if it's not like in urban centers, they've not really been making any investment or even put any attention. So oftentimes you see these folks that are using their positions of power to spew out racist ideas and thoughts, just like this mayor did, right? And feel justified in doing so because there's not been a concerted effort to check him and to hold him accountable for those kinds of things.
Latasha, let's go to the higher level. This was a mayor we're talking about, but at the state level, of course, we have this incredibly blatant conflict of interest taking place around the gubernatorial race, with Secretary of State Brian Kemp running for governor of Georgia, the same person running for a race who has the essentially oversees voting matters in the state. Brian Kemp, very problematic candidate, Trump supporter. Trump loves him. He loves Trump, who has now, we find out, essentially been responsible for attempting to suppress the votes of hundreds of thousands of Georgians, disproportionately tending toward Black voters. We've heard many numbers. The most blatant one is the 107,000 people whose votes were purged from the rolls. This is, I understand, by a Georgia law, that they can't, their registrations are invalid simply because they didn't vote in the last few elections. Can you explain this a little bit?
Right. So he has a purging process. So here it is, the person that's at the top of the ticket. It's like my grandmother would say, I love to use refer to my grandparents. They used to have these wise sayings that how are you going to put the fox over the chicken coop? Mm. Right. So essentially, what you've got, the top of the ticket that has been making a decision to actually purge voters, saying that they haven't participated in the last election cycles. Maybe, do we have the right to, so on one hand, do we have the right to vote? Do we have not the right to decide which elections that we don't want to vote in? He's made a decision to use that to actually purge hundreds of thousands of folks from the voting list, the registration list, so that there has to be a completely different new registration process. One, you have to think about it. Why? Right? What's the harm in it? Two, why is he doing this at this time and why has he been doing that? Well, we all know the answer. At the end of the day, there is an attempt to marginalize people of color and particularly Black voters, right? And to, as much as possible, to remove them from the voting rolls so that he has an advantage in terms of winning this election.
And it might be right, Latasha, that a lot of Black voters who just weren't that excited about previous elections are excited about the chance to vote for Stacey Abrams. She, if she wins, would be the first Black female governor in the nation's history. And so it's very possible that you have voters who, you know, just haven't voted in previous elections wanting to vote this election and suddenly being told that their registration is no longer valid. And are they even finding out, by the way? When do they get to find out? Do they get something in the mail letting them know they need to re-register?
They get something in the mail. Some of them, it's actually just been a horrible process. We've been finding out that even the state's process has not been consistent. And so there's some that know, there's some that don't know, because if they change address, if they've moved, they may or may not know. And so there are many apps and many different organizations that have been really trying to create and expose tools for folks to really find out. A part of, I always talk about, there's a spectrum suppression that goes from everything from the poll taxes and the counting of jelly beans, you know, to be able to go and register to vote, to simple, some nuanced pieces like what we've described today, that there's a whole onslaught, like a menu of different kind of different tactics that we've seen, particularly the Republicans use in the South to, one, either interfere with Black folks' ability to be able to vote, to really be able to purge them from the rolls, to prevent them from going to a polling places or provide, or to also create barriers for them that not have access access to the polls. So, I mean, we just saw even a month and a half ago in Randolph County and a county in Georgia, a southern county in Georgia, once again, where there are 9 polling places in the entire county. And here it is that the local county was going to close 7 of the 9 places, like 7 in a county that's over 400 a mile square feet. So we're seeing these kind of tactics, this onslaught and this onslaught of activities and tactics to suppress the Black vote.
So there's also the story of the signature analysis that now people are getting notes in the mail saying that their registration is not valid because a signature analysis showed that their signature did not match what they put on their voter registration. Signature analysis is notoriously unreliable. And so it's not clear whether this is, again, sort of disproportionately targeting Black voters, but it just seems incredibly fishy.
It is absolutely outrageous what is happening. We're doing a signature analysis on voter registration. Right. Like this in itself shows how these people are willing to go through extraordinary lengths to really be able to prevent Black voters from participating in the process. One, we know that that's not a reliable process. Secondly, we know that it's costly. Third, why would it? I don't know about you, but sometimes even my writing, right, when I'm writing for and when I'm in a rush, sometimes I'm writing in a rush and my signature is actually not even legible, right? I'm sharing that in a way that this has nothing to do with protecting the sanctity of the vote. This is the same people that on one hand, they believe that there should be no regulation, there should be a free market economy. But on the other hand, when it comes to voting, that all of a sudden you've got to micromanage, you have to micro-focus on, because at the end of the day, what this is really about power. And this is really about the changing demographics show us that in Georgia and places in the South, that people of color are actually becoming the majority. And because of that, I think there's all of these desperate attempts for a small group of people, a minority group, to literally be able, i.e. this group of Trump supporters, right, to maintain power at any cost. And particularly, and that's why I think it's really important at this time that we organize ourselves and we resist. We like to say at Black Voters Matter, can't stop, won't stop, that this is the beginning. We're seeing these tactics, not because we're losing, we're seeing all of these tactics in place because we're winning. And so this is the time for us to resist. This is the time for us to organize ourselves. This is the time for us to push harder, because we're the ones that are really going to transform this nation. Part of the reason why we're doing the tour that we're doing, and it's called The South is Rising, is because the South is rising. It's not by accident that Stacey Abrams is an African-American woman that is the top of the ticket in Georgia. We see an African-American male, Andrew Gillum, who is the top of the ticket in Florida. We see Beto in Texas. We're seeing a crop of progressive, forward-thinking, inclusive people, candidates that are moving a platform, and there's a constituency base that has been growing in the South that we have the power, we have the numbers, and we have the power to make that a reality.
Latasha, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for your organization, Black Voters Matter.
We do. So please check us out at www.blackvotersmatter.org. Voters with an S, votersmatterfund.org. You can also check our website out for our C3, organization, which is BVM, Capacity Building Institute. But you can all get there through our website. You can also check us out on Twitter. We're pretty active. If you want to follow us on the South is Rising Tour, we're going through all throughout the South, meeting with communities, listening, having rallies, having a great time. Come join virtually on the journey with us. Go to our Twitter. Go to Twitter. You can find us at Black Voters MTR. You can also find us on Facebook at Black Voters Matter.
We'll link to all of those from our website. Thank you so much, Latasha. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you for the platform and thank you for the work you do. We really need just good, solid journalists like you and platforms that allow the community to get our message and our stories out. So we are really, really grateful for you. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. My guest has been Latasha Brown, co-founder of Black Voters Matter. We've been discussing voter suppression efforts in Georgia. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.